2. Welcome back into the Radcast, everybody. I guess, Super Sentai Steven.
Yes!
And I'm Mighty Morphin Matt.
Yes, not for very much longer.
Because I am losing my life force because of my powers. My powers are now connected to my power coin, and I'm losing my life force because they took my power coin.
Just a little taste of what we got in season 3.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah,
for season 3. Because as you've seen, we have reached the culmination of our season-by-season retrospective of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the final season of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, Season 3, which, with the show taking off like it did with a bang, it kind of, in regards to just Mighty Morphin Rangers, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers,
proper,
the Mighty Morphin Rangers.
Yes, it ends with an unceremonious, I won't say whimper, because it was a big, almost shocking conclusion.
Yeah.
But is unceremonious,
yes,
the way that they did it. And we'll get into that.
It literally went out with a bang.
Uh-huh. But it was to, and again, we'll talk about it here in just a second, but it was to set up for the next iteration of the Power Rangers, which would happen just mere months after the ending of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. But we're here. We're talking about Season 3.
Mm-hmm.
Over the course of this last month, Mighty Morphin May, we did a Season 1 retrospective, which we've been getting great feedback from.
Yep.
Shout out to many people. Joe Gilbert included. Derek Gove included.
Yep.
Those are two people that really reached out to us. Samantha Kennedy, our sister, who all reached out to us over the course of the last month so far, and have told us how much they've enjoyed the episodes.
Yes.
We very much appreciate it. Same with
always.
Season 2 last week. If you're listening to this, the week before we released Season 2 retrospective. And by the time you're listening to this, we re-released our review of the Mighty Morphin
Power Rangers years ago.
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers is the movie with Alfalfa 5.
Alfalfa 5.
So if you listened to you heard, you know, my little alfalfa flub.
Alfalfa flub.
But that was, we released that May 5th of 2020.
Alfalfa flub should have been his real last name.
Yes.
Five is short for flub.
spelled 5. L-U-B, which just the number 5,
it's just,
L-U-B.
It doesn't work at all.
Nope.
But what did work was how they kind of improved upon some of the stuff we pointed out in our Season 2 episode.
You know, this season gets a lot of criticism, but I really liked
it. I really, really enjoyed watching Season 3.
Yeah.
It felt more cohesive
than
at least the last half of Season 2.
There was more of a rhythm.
More of a rhythm. The team had their, speaking of rhythm, the team had their rhythm together. We had them in and out of costume together more.
They felt like mature veterans.
Mm-hmm. It was, and it helped, it was coming off of the success of the movie.
Yeah.
Although they,
oh, yeah,
although 20th Century Fox wanted to make their own like feature film featuring the Power Rangers and really weren't interested in canonizing it with the show, it still was coming off of the popularity.
Oh, sure. And they still took elements from the movie and implemented them into this season.
Uh-huh.
So any kid who saw the movie, it's not just this, so wait, nothing in the movie is going to carry over to the show?
Mm-hmm.
There were a few things, even though the movie's not in canon, technically.
Yeah, and I know growing up, I've remembered very little about Season 3 outside of it was the last season.
Yeah.
As I got a little older and did more research, I found out how they ended the season.
Yeah.
Of course, it's to lead into Power Rangers Zeo,
which
we did watch quite a bit growing up, along
with
like Power Rangers or Ninja Turtles and Next Mutation.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Still, we're avid Fox Kids viewers.
Oh, for sure,
And growing up, I didn't remember a lot about Season 3 besides the Tango Warriors. They were Tango or the Tangu Warriors.
Tangu became Tanga Warriors.
But those came into the show.
Yeah.
The Ninja
costumes came into the show.
How unappealing they looked compared to the ninja costumes in the movie.
Right. But
Kimberly got replaced.
So I knew all of that stuff, but I don't remember ever sitting and really watching any episodes from season three. I didn't remember much about season three. And I
no,
honestly, maybe like a lot of other viewers out there, Mighty Morphin Power Ranger viewers who maybe didn't even want to carry on past Jason Track and
Jason, Trini, and Zach.
Because there's many fans who didn't want to move on past them, which is understandable.
Totally.
And some people kind of like stopped after the movie, and I feel like I was one of them.
Definitely.
So I never really gave this season the time of day. I really liked it.
It does some things better than the season before it,
mm-hmm.
at least the back end of season two.
Yeah.
It accomplishes like different storytelling techniques better than season two, even though in the grand scheme, you look at it and you're like, oh, a lot of these things are for plot convenience.
Mm-hmm.
At least they're a bit more creative.
Yeah.
And a lot of the conflicts actually have weight to them.
Oh yeah. And there's weight to the peril.
Yes.
Again, and I made notes about how
I got all the notes.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot that went on in season three, which, you know, kind of has Matt and I thinking, like, because there's so much, because there was 33 episodes proper. And we say proper because they went on to do a 10-episode miniseries to kind of round out the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers story and lead into Zeo, also kind of adopting the name the Zeo Quest because Saban Entertainment wanted to move on for various reasons, again, that I'll mention. But it is one of those things to where, like,
the much-loved Haim Saban.
Yeah, if you listen to if you don't know, like, you can listen to our season two episode. We kind of raked the guy through the coals, deservedly so.
Yeah.
But also, some of you may know, and it's a quick Google search, and you can see the controversy behind the guy.
Yeah.
But there's an obvious, like, differentiation between the last 10 episodes and the show proper, and that's where it sticks in the craw as to how they ended the show. But let's start with the new additions to the show.
Of course.
Catherine Sutherland is here as Kat, as Catherine Kat Hillard, who would go on to be in all of Zeo and the first kind of portion of Turbo.
Yeah.
She's also been it. She carries the flag of Power Rangers with her.
Much like a Jason David Frank or, you know, Walter Jones or Austin St. John. They fly the flag. They're not embarrassed by this show they made.
So
they're proud to be Power Rangers.
Yeah. She's a regular at conventions.
Yeah.
She's been in subsequent Power Ranger specials to where she'll show up mainly as like the pink Mighty Morphin Power Ranger.
Yeah.
Well, I think in one of them she was the Pink Zeo Power Ranger. I don't know. I just know now in the current...
She's in Once and Always as the Pink Ranger.
Right.
Yeah. Mighty Morphin Ranger.
Yeah, which, I mean, ideally, of course, you'd want Amy Jo Johnson.
Sure.
But if you can't get her, Kat was the Pink Ranger for about 8 episodes.
Yeah.
And plus, Catherine Sutherland would be willing and available to do it.
Yeah.
But Catherine Sutherland is here as Kat Hillard. Greg Bullock as Lieutenant Jerome Stone, who he would show up in Zeo.
Yeah.
Turbo as a part of the new character arc for Bulk and Skull.
Yeah. I will say they did a good job in all three seasons giving Bulk and Skull something new to do.
This time around they are training to become
like
junior police officers, and then in Zeo and Turbo, they're police officers.
Which is an arc that I remember a lot from being a kid, was Bulk and Skull as, you know, police officers.
Yeah.
And, of course, you get the same slapstick, silly, goofy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to do something with Jason Narvi and Paul Schreier. They're far and away the most talented performers.
They are excellent performers.
Yeah.
And we mentioned in earlier episodes the slapstick, but there's a very kind of Laurel and Hardy-esque relationship. They implement Three Stooges.
Yeah.
Of course, I mean, any of the comedy teams of the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, I mean, you throw that in with Bulk and Skull. You give it a 90s sheen.
Yeah, and then Lieutenant Stone is always like the straight man to their tomfoolery.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes he's the victim of it. Like, they drag him into things and he gets the slapstick treatment.
Yeah.
Kim Strass as the voice of Ninjor. Bob Pattenbrook as the voice of Rito Revolto. Simon Prescott as the voice of Master Vile. Cicely Johnson, our pal Michael Lasky.
Yeah, Michael Lasky.
Michael Lasky, Michael Arigato, Mr. Rogato.
Julia Arigato, Mr. Arigato.
Julia Jordan, Matthew Sakamoto, and Justin Timsit as young Aisha, Rocky, Tommy, Catherine, Adam, and Billy, respectively.
Mm-hmm.
That comes up later.
Yep.
That's part of why it's kind of deflating the end that they got, because throughout the whole miniseries, for about 10 or 11 episodes, kids.
All those kids, except the little girl that played a young Catherine, actually reprised their roles as the young versions of those characters.
We talked about in season two earlier, there's a kind of a needless two-parter.
Yeah.
It's where the Rangers are turned into kids.
Yeah.
And that time, they don't know that they're Rangers.
Yeah.
This time, they do because of the power coins. You know,
it infuses them with the memories of being a Power Ranger.
And it was done much better this time.
Yeah.
So there, those kids played the younger versions of the Rangers. Rajia Baruti, David Bacon, Kareem Prince, Jim Gray, and Alan Palmer as the aliens of Aquitar, so the alien Rangers.
Yeah.
And the introduction of Nakia Barise as Tanya Sloan,
yes,
who she would be also, she would join them in Power Rangers Zeo and in Turbo.
Yeah.
Who we mentioned the likes of Nakia Barise and Catherine Sutherland in our Power Rangers Turbo episode, our very first episode of Sucktastic Cinema.
Yes, yeah.
Which was very funny, if I must say.
Very, very funny episode.
But like we said earlier, the season comes off the success of the movie, but there was little interest in how it would play into the show, so they focused on making it a studio movie, thus it as a whole wasn't canon. So we mentioned that earlier.
Yeah.
And kind of the behind the scenes stuff, again, not as controversial.
No, there wasn't near as much like drama, or I guess a drama that we know about.
Yeah. But some of the reason for some changes, first and foremost, Amy Jo Johnson, she informed the crew and informed Pime Saban she'd be leaving.
Yep.
And it was in the middle of when scripts were being written for season three, so they had to find a replacement out of their time of filming the movie in Australia. Someone who auditioned for the role of Dulcia was Catherine Sutherland.
She was deemed too young.
But they did remember her in her audition for, you know, for replacing the Pink Ranger. And again, the only thing that's kind of the same as like with Kimberly, she's not like Kimberly, like the replacements for Rocky. Not Rocky, for Zach, Jason, and Trini weren't analogs. Kat, the only really similar thing is Beautiful Woman. But also kind of developing romantic love.
Yeah.
You know, trying love angle with Tommy, but that was later in Zeo.
Yeah, and much like Kim, she was an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
She was a swimmer, whereas Kimberly is a gymnast.
Yes.
And they both... we'll get into an arc to where they connect on a particular event that they both tried out for.
And then Saban decided to go the route they did with this season of really trying to shoot more for finality with things.
Yeah.
Because even though the show into its third season was still number one in its time slot, the popularity and merchandise sales were declining, which is like, I mean... It's funny how high the bar was set in the popularity and the phenomenon that seasons one and two were, that although it says sales were declining, they still were like the number one merchandise seller.
Yeah. Declining compared to where they were, which them declining is still success.
Yeah. And fearing it would lose its phenomenon status, Saban Entertainment toyed with ideas for major shakeups to the show, including possibly killing off main characters, which... would not go over.
No.
It's tough. You know, you really don't want to introduce death into children's shows.
Yeah.
Instead, it was decided, for the most part, especially something like this.
Sure,
You can do it, but this would be neither the time nor the place.
Right.
Instead, it was decided the changes would just be cosmetic, in line with matching the source footage again. So with that being said, Sentai footage could be relied on more heavily again. A fresh batch of merch could be sold. They decided to go with what was the more current iteration of the Sentai show, which would be the Zeo. What would become the Zeo costume?
Right.
So they decided to start working on a new show, and then from there on out, every new season would be just like the Sentai shows in Japan, to where every season there'd be a change in the cast and the story.
Yep.
So Mighty Morphin Power Rangers really was the end of trying to carry on, you know, the Power Rangers story. Because at that time, that's what Power Rangers was yeah. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Yeah, and nowadays, it works much like, or I say nowadays, from then on, they mm-hmm. worked more like the Sentai shows, and that is basically one season.
Mm-hmm.
And they would use the footage from the season they're using, and then once that American season is over, they just move on to a different Power Rangers.
Yeah. But what was also different about the start of season three was the first three episodes. It's a three-parter.
Yeah.
That actually was a backdoor pilot for another Saban attempt at kind of capturing the magic of Power Rangers, and that was to introduce American audiences to the Masked Rider.
Yes.
Which was an adaptation of Kamen Rider, which if you listen to our season one episode, Kamen Rider was the first kind of tokatsu-like henshin morphing
yeah.
popular character
yeah.
in Japan. The Kamen Rider belt sold Buku in Japan.
Yeah. Buku belt.
Yeah, and Kamen Rider had been going longer than the Sentai shows at that
right.
point. And for various reasons, which we won't get into right now, the Masked Rider show failed miserably.
Yeah.
Like, it just failed miserably because also, unlike the Super Samurai or the Sentai, the Super Sentai, which Power Rangers could pull from with more current footage,
yeah.
The most current footage from Kamen Rider that was pulled from was from 1987,
88,
late
80s. Like yeah.
And also, there was a movie
yeah.
from 1993. For Kamen Rider that they pulled from, and it was a show trying to be put out in 1995, 1996.
Yeah.
So the differences were more glaring
mm-hmm.
than, say, when American footage was mixed with the Japanese footage for
yeah.
like, say, a Power Rangers.
Yeah.
So needless to say, they tried to piggyback off the success of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers or try to use the popularity of Power Rangers to introduce the Masked Rider, but needless to say, also, it was not a success.
No, it wasn't.
Yes. Yeah, so when we get into the season, it starts with a three-parter Ninja Quest, which the series became, or the show became more serialized.
Yeah.
And this season, very little did you have just self-contained episodes, and they veered more towards the multi-parters, which, like we mentioned in season one, got back to the pivot point.
Yeah.
These are changing of the tide type episodes.
They're a lot stronger than
mm-hmm.
just kind of the random entries
mm-hmm.
season. Because season two started with some really important
mm-hmm.
ones, but then once the power transfer happened, it started to just kind of feel lazy.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
which is is a criticism levied towards this season, is that
mm-hmm.
they're running out of ideas and it seemed lazy. But it's like, I was watching it and I was like, sure, a lot of things are used for plot convenience,
mm-hmm.
but they're relatively creative in how they work around things.
Mm-hmm.
And even though sometimes the explanations for certain changes or transitions don't really make sense, it's enough at least for me to be like, okay, I can work with that.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense
yeah.
to me. To
yeah.
me, I can roll with that kind of
mm-hmm.
thing.
And the first kind of big shakeup inside of the show itself, because they're using the footage they're using now, and this time it's from Ninja Sentai Kakuranger,
mm-hmm.
which introduces us to the Ninja Zords, and then
yeah.
later on what would be referred to as the Shogun Zords.
Yeah.
And then later on would be the first time there was a change up in the suits inside the Power Rangers, at least inside the American version. And they went back to being able to rely heavily on Sentai footage because
yeah.
with the Alien Rangers, it's the suits used in Ninja Sentai Kakuranger.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that, of course. But what they did use as a apart from like kind of archive footage from the Sentai show as they would in other seasons, they used the Samurai Zords, which lined up with what was introduced in the movie with
yeah.
like the ape, the wolf, the
yeah.
frog,
yep.
The falcon,
yeah.
and the crane. They and Shogun Zords, which are introduced, which are cool, but also the character of Ninjor.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Ninjor. That's the thing, is there's a couple new characters, Rito Revolto and Ninjor,
yeah.
who both I mean, in their own way, are kind of just silly, bumbling characters. Ninjor is more seen with more reverence because there's the mythic aspect behind him. Yeah. He's said to have been the creator of the power coins, thus, you know, tapping into the morphing grid and essentially the creator of the Power Rangers.
Yeah, exactly. He is the sage, wise, kind of holy man of the power grid and morphing and the power and stuff like that. So he's kind of at the root of everything. Mm-hmm. He's kind of at the beginning of it all.
Yeah, and Rito with the menagerie of other monsters
ambush
the Rangers and cause the destruction of the Thunder Zords, which they famously have to watch get destroyed, which that's not the first time that they've had their Zords destroyed.
No.
Like, they kind of go that route whenever they need to introduce the new Zords
based on the footage that they're going to be using.
Exactly. So it's a relatively familiar way they've done it. That's not the first time they've done it. There's other things that really show the menace to the villains and the upping the ante this season later, as they introduce later on.
Yeah.
But with the destruction of the Zords, they also, you know, lose their power coins weaken and are obsolete. So they have to go to find Ninjor so he can restore their power in a way.
And introduce them to a different kind of power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because whereas their original power is based on like strength and power, this new power, this ninja power, is based more on like speed and swiftness and cunning and kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it comes with actual powers, as you see.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the Power Ranger, the Mighty Morphin powers imbues them with enhanced powers.
Mm-hmm.
It gives them powers, but when you're watching it, you forget that these Power Rangers have powers. They're not just teenagers in suits.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas these ninja suits, they actually display them like utilizing powers that come with it.
Yeah, which is really, I actually, that was one of my favorite parts. Again, as an adult, as we've mentioned in our last two episodes, talking about seasons one and two, I really like the outside of the costume relationship stuff.
Sure.
So again, like we mentioned earlier, with the team being in their groove as they are, that's much better in this season. So I like that, but also in this, I like using the ninja stuff, which is a carryover from the movie, because of the new powers. And there's kind of a new attitude when they fight.
Of course.
Several times during this season, that's a part of all the stuff that they just try to fit in. They have updates to their powers because the threats keep becoming greater.
Right.
Which it's kind of ironic that they get all these upgrades and they become arguably the most powerful they've ever been, only for the bottom to fall out at the end. But, you know, it's also a way to sell more toys.
Yeah.
It's also a way to kind of use other resources. And I mean, again, it added to the enjoyment.
Yeah.
I thought it was good. But you earlier, you just did, and if you listen to our re-release of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie, where you also do the voice of Ninjor, an impression. You don't do the voice of Ninjor.
It sounds like this. Very young.
The thing is,
I did the voice of Ninjor in the movie episode?
Yeah.
Huh.
Anyway,
I'll have to listen back to it.
Yeah, don't.
When you re-release
it's a stinker. I'm just kidding.
Oh.
But it's one of those things to where you think such a revered character, this wise sage, who actually he himself is able to grow and help the Megazord.
Yeah.
He has powers of his own. He rides in on a cloud.
Yeah.
You can't really pinpoint what he is. He's not a person in a costume. He's just an entity.
He kind of is like a ninja mixed with Baymax from Big Hero 6 sort of thing.
But like he's got, you know, a pretty cool look. Someone who is as important to the Ranger lore as he is.
Yeah.
Why does he sound? He sounds like this. He's like, "Here I come, Rangers!
Yeah.
You are now the Ninja Rangers."
Yeah, it's like, why did you give him that voice?
Rito Revolto. He has a cool look.
Yo, he sounds like this.
Yeah,
but he's a skeleton. He's like a camouflage looking skeleton who actually looks like he would be pretty menacing and scary, but
he's an idiot.
You know, you take the bite off of scary looking villains by making them bumbling. I mean, exactly. That's what they had to do with Lord Zedd in the last half of season two.
Yep.
And they just carried that on with the Zedd and Rita relationship. Mm-hmm. Goldar is now more of a dunce as well. But you take the bite out of it. With a hero like that, why do you give him a silly voice?
I mean, at least take that time. Do it to a villain when you're going to do it to, like, an important good guy who's, like, the keeper of all things, like, Mighty and Morphin. And,
yes.
And he's got this connection to the power grid, and he's, like, got this this sacred history. Why can't he be, you know, talking in riddles? And he's, you know, he's like, listen, Power Rangers, you know, kind of thing. Like, I don't know. Make him sound like an old wise man. I don't know.
Exactly. Get David Carradine and let him do his voice from Kung Fu.
Yeah, get Mickey Rooney and let him do his voice from Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yeah.
His Smucker's grape jam voice.
Yeah, exactly. But that's a cool element added. I really like the ninja powers.
I do too.
Said they have powers.
I like their powers. I like that it's something they're carrying over from the movie. They give them face pieces, face wrapping, instead of like ninja covering the mouth, like from the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Their whole faces are covered, which I get, like it's for stunt doubles and stuff. It's very off-putting looking.
Especially the
eye holes.
One.
Yeah. The eye holes are very small. The white one especially kind of looks like...
It looks like a Klan member.
Looks like a Klan member.
It's off-putting.
Yeah, exactly. Or like the town that dreaded sundown.
The potato sack over the head.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is... Other than that...
Yeah.
Those things make it kind of off-putting, but other than that, you know, you have... You know, they have the power to hypnotize the Tango Warriors, which we mentioned earlier, where kind of introduces Ivan Ooze's quote-unquote... putties, like later on when they like attack them on Phaedos.
They're like anthropomorphic ravens.
Yeah. But they are now the putties. You know, Rito brings them in.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be more powerful.
Yeah. Which, if I never hear Ron Wasserman's Tango Warrior theme again, I'll be just fine.
That's a thing.
You know, how many times? Because, again, instead of putties, they fight the Tango Warriors, and every single time they fight them, it's like, watch the tango. Yeah, I'm like, oh, here we go. You can't just play like combat or something.
Yeah.
Like 1-5-4-1 or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sick of those songs.
No, of course
it's
not.
And I'm not really sick of the tango song either.
It got annoying after a while.
Yeah, that part. But they have, you know, powers of like, they can hypnotize the tangas.
Yeah.
They can disappear.
Yeah,
they can
tell.
Like,
well, I mean, I was gonna say teleport. They already can teleport, but
yeah, but like transport themselves. Like I don't know, quickly. It's
Adam
like,
can split himself into two to confuse
them. Mortal Kombat ninja powers.
Yeah.
So I like that element.
I do too. Overall, aside from the look, I like the ninja powers.
Yeah, and another cool thing is, because the Sentai show had no footage of a Zord being destroyed, the suit was shipped to the U.S., and with a mix of suit actors on close-ups and models, the proper scenes were shot to obtain the necessary footage for when the Thunder Megazord was being destroyed. And then on that, whenever the Zords were coming together, they used the American toys and filmed those. So that's pretty cool.
And also when they used the Ninja Zords... there was a lot more individual Zord action in the Japanese footage, so it kind of was that fun American hammy corny kind of like quick zoom in or Dutch tilt.
Yeah,
and it was more individual shots of the Rangers in their Zords.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, it just gave it it wasn't cheesy because you're using exaggerated Japanese footage. Mm-hmm. It's fun, cheesy, like American ham.
Yeah, it seemed like there was more American footage used to thread throughout.
Yeah.
You know, more so than season one and more so than definitely season two.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like this patchwork like the end of season two did.
Yeah.
It felt very cohesive.
Yeah. And because there was American footage, you had to focus more like on the teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
So you got a little bit more kind of melodrama, you know, sort of episodes or moments or whatever. Which I will say the acting in this season, definitely Amy Jo Johnson's strongest season. Mm-hmm. Rocky and Adam, still not great, but at least they felt more confident. Mm-hmm. Aisha was better. Mm-hmm. Billy was a linchpin in this season.
Billy makes many, the team run.
Yeah, in many, many aspects and situations. Mm-hmm. We were talking about this yesterday. You grow up, and it's like, oh, no one wants to be Billy. He's a nerd or whatever. But as you watch the show, they can't do any of this without Billy.
No.
Billy is arguably the most important member of the team.
Billy, you know, he makes the team run because so much is technology-based.
So everybody's always looking to Billy.
Yeah, they don't adapt to the way that they do in so many dire situations mm-hmm. without Billy's expertise.
Yeah.
So knowing what we know now about the show going into this season and the end, I started it seeing and or being able to see, and kids might have been able to see it at the point too, there's kind of this undercurrent of doom that's going on, because not only Rito comes in, and although he's an idiot and
he's effective in a lot of points
and the Tango Warriors, which are more powerful, they're part of his brood, and then later on when Master Vile comes down, he executes some of the most effective means of defeating the Power Rangers, and he's the one who puts their backs against the wall probably more than Zed or Rita did, even though it was Zed and Rita who ultimately saw the demise of the Power Rangers. But Master Vile laid hugely effective blows onto the team. So there's this, again, this undercurrent as we see more multi-parters of like, something's going to happen to the Rangers. This team is not much longer for this world.
Yeah.
They're barely escaping a lot of situations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as we mentioned, as more like new power upgrades and Zords and all these new abilities get introduced, they don't really get some of them don't get the most time to breathe because they're bested. Yeah. By some attempt from Rita and Zed, or some attempt from Master Vile, or some other circumstances, they're always kind of, you know, again, back against the wall,
right,
made to have to like fight from the bottom,
and
they barely come out of things unscathed sometimes.
There's definitely, like in previous seasons, they may occasionally get like a new weapon or something, or because most of the threats are of similar danger level, and then on occasion you get something especially dangerous, or it's like, here's a new weapon, or here's a new attachment to your Zord, or something like that. Here's a lot more in this season. The threats are as such to where you get a lot more transitions of, here's a ninja power, here are your ninja Zords, now you need Shogun Zords, here's shark cycles, here's metallic armor, all in response to the threats that they're facing, which is a testament to just how, like, towards the end of their run, just how, you know, it's like Batman in Nightfall.
Yeah.
In the Nightfall story arc, like, he's just at his wit's end, and he's just broken down and beaten by having to fight all these escaped Arkham patients and stuff.
To run this, like, season-long gauntlet.
Yeah, exactly.
All of these villains who just increase in power. Yeah. And if you really look at it comparatively to seasons 1 and 2, I mean, of course, they faced villains like that, but more so in those two seasons, like we've mentioned, there were a lot more villain of the week, villain of the day type stories. You get a lot less this time.
Yeah.
So there's, like you said earlier, the peril has weight whenever we see the Rangers go up against a threat that deserves like a two-part or three-part or four-part or episode arc.
They're reaching the end to what the Mighty Morphin power can withstand, kind of thing. Hence why they transition into Zeo, which is a more powerful energy, like force.
And with all that being said, one of the more critical blows they take is as a result of Zed and Rita efforts, but then also just life circumstances for Kimberly.
Yeah.
So Kim, I mean, just starts off the season, she's sick. Like when they are dealing when
she has
like,
the
with,
flu. Yeah, she's with not.
The, yeah, yeah, with like the Masked Rider yeah. episodes. You know, she has to go in on her own.
Yeah,
and at with certain missions. So there's that. There's also, she has her power coin stolen by this new girl in town mm-hmm. who, she's under Rita's spell.
Cat.
Catherine Hillard. She's
who
under
gets turned into a house cat.
Into a house cat.
That's how she moves in and out. Is she's disguised as a house cat.
She's quite the minx. She's quite the little minx. Meow.
Meow.
I anyway. Will say.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's a very beautiful Australian woman.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Anyway, sorry. But she, much like, you know, they introduced Tommy in season one, she's already under Rita's spell
yeah.
when she's introduced. So there's a handful of episodes to where she feigns being an ally to the Rangers, yeah. but then she turns around and gives Rita and Zed information
she's
on them.
She's an inside man.
She's an inside man. But part of that is she's been tasked to steal a power coin. It just so happens to be Kimberly's power coin.
Yeah.
And like we kind of mentioned earlier, with the new ninja powers, Ninjor has imbued the power coins with also
their life force.
The Ranger's natural energy force. Yeah. So with taking Kim's power coin, it starts to actually drain her life force.
Yeah.
Too.
Which it's funny because like we mentioned in the last episode, and we probably touched on it a bit in season one, but like,
oh, you got a little dribble on you?
Quiet.
Spill a little water on your shirt?
It's a dribble glass. Quiet.
It worked.
Anyway, we kind of, especially in season two, we're like, yeah, Tommy's green power is being drained from him, but at least it's you're still going to have Tommy. He's just not going to be a Ranger anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of joked, we're like, they're treating him like he has a terminal illness. In this particular case, like, not only is Kimberly losing her Pink Ranger power, mm-hmm. she's losing her life force.
Yeah.
So this actually is like, we lose the Pink Ranger, we're losing Kimberly as well.
Yeah, and they eventually are able to get the coin back. Along with that, the power of the Falcon Zord
yeah.
is stolen.
Yep.
So with there's the episode to where Zed sends, is it Babu and Squat that go out to like this forest to try to find like they need to find the legendary like Zords that Zed plans on having the Rangers
yes.
pilot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's Babu and Squat.
And they end up becoming controlled by the Rangers, and those are what get turned into the Shogun Zords. Yeah. But he wants to use the Pink Ranger power coin, the power of the Falcon Zord, and they capture Ninjor. And what they're going to do is they're going to use all those three things to help power. I know Master Vile captured Ninjor.
Yes.
I think right now it's just the Falcon Zord and the Pink Ranger coin.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're using those two things because they want to use the power of those two things to find these legendary Zords that Zed plans on having
yeah.
the Rangers pilot almost against their will.
Which become the Shogun Zords.
Yep, which that's actually a really cool scene of like menace
mm-hmm.
is for the first time, Zed shows up in the command center. Like,
yeah.
I thought it was a pretty cool moment to where, like, you know, they've captured Kim and she is not in a good state. But what happens is that he taps into the viewing globe
yeah.
and he starts communicating with the Rangers while they're in the command center helmetless and the looks on all their faces.
Yeah, they're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, he is, like, he's stormed the castle. Mm-hmm. He has infiltrated our, like, sacred place.
Yeah. So Zed is like, you know, I have a proposition for you guys. I'll give you Kimberly back if you say you'll serve me and you'll pilot my new Zords.
You have to pilot the Shogun Zords and you have to destroy Angel Grove.
Yeah. And I don't think that they're not the Shogun Zords yet. They become the Shogun. Or are they? I can't remember if they become the Shogun Zords. They're referred to as the Shogun Zords after the Rangers take control.
Yeah,
of them.
Yeah, I can't remember what the
yeah
where the transition timeline yeah. is. I just know I just have Shogun Zords introduced.
Yeah. Like, but either yeah. way, it's a cool moment that yeah. although there are quips and one-liners, has some like genuine. I don't know. I already said it, but it has menace to it.
Yeah, like yeah, it has genuine like.
how are they going to get out of this kind of thing.
But ultimately,
Kim's life is literally on the line here.
And they get Kim back.
Yeah.
She's able to come back. I don't think that they don't have the pink power coin yet. They do with Billy's smarts and Adam, but like with the Ranger's smarts, they're able to take control of the Shogun Zords and much to the chagrin of Lord Zedd.
Yeah.
They now pilot the Zords and they defeat them for that time. But with Rita and Zedd still having the power coin, Kimberly can only get power in a conserved means.
Yeah. Much like the Green Ranger. Yeah. She can't pilot a Shogun Zord. When they're introduced, she has to share Tommy's because she doesn't have enough power to pilot a Shogun
Zord. Yeah, from the shared power of the ninja power, the other's ninja power coins that she's powered up. So there's this, she's weakening as the season goes on. And eventually it just leads to she now also has a life situation to where it's like the pan global.
Yeah, she meets a famous gymnastics coach because, I mean, you see Kimberly doing gymnastics in different parts, but this truly brings up her participation in competitive gymnastics.
Yeah.
And there's like the Pan Global Games.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a tryout or something for the Pan Global Games. And so she has to make a choice, essentially. She's like, this has been my dream since I was a little girl was to compete in these games in gymnastics. And I have this gymnastics coach now that's willing to like work with me, but I have every day has to be devoted to that, which means that I can't go out there on missions with you guys, which the Power Rangers are fine with, but they encounter situations where Zordon's like, Kimberly, you have to go help them. And so there's a lot of like, I need your time every day. And she's like, but I gotta go help my friends and it's stuff. It's a whole conflict there. She has to make tough choices.
Yeah. And because of that, it jogs Catherine's memory as to like, she was one of the greatest divers.
I'm not a bad gill. I'm a good gill.
Yeah, exactly. She was a great diver in Australia who she could have joined, the Pan Global Games, but she choked.
She hit her head.
Oh yeah, that's right.
A dive she's done like a million times in her like tryout or whatever. She hit her head and muffed the dive or whatever,
and then she
ruined her chances.
And then she starts to remember her life that she was put under a spell by Rita, and her goodness eventually shakes the spell because she's like, oh, Kimberly, what have I done? And then she goes into the juice bar where Kim has a late night like practice session.
Yeah.
She falls off the balance beam. Catherine's the one who finds her.
I did this to her. I did this to Kimberly.
Yes, exactly. And she admits to Kim what was going on, that she knew they were the Power Rangers and she's the one causing all this trouble.
Yeah.
And she's forgiven. Everybody forgives her.
Because Tommy's like, listen, I know what that's like. I was under Rita's spell.
Yeah.
And I broke it, and Power Rangers are Power Rangers. We see the good in people, and I was able to prove that I am not Rita's minion. There's good in you the same there is good in me and stuff like that.
And long story short with that multi-part or different shade of pink, at the end, Kimberly ultimately, even though she keeps saying, I'm a Power Ranger, I'm a Power Ranger, I'm a Power Ranger, Zordon, he commends her for her loyalty and her growth and maturity.
Yeah.
But he said one thing, when I picked you all to be Power Rangers, I never wanted to get in the way of life opportunities.
Yeah.
So she goes off to Florida to train with this world-renowned gym coach so that she could hopefully compete in the Pan Global Game. So Kimberly's gone, but she gives Kat her power coin.
Yeah. And I will say, it doesn't just seem random that she's just passing it off to Kat because, Catherine was in like 9 episodes leading up to this moment. So we familiarized ourselves with her. And once she became good again, she did something in different shade of pink to where she sacrificed herself for the good of the Power Rangers. So to Zordon, that proved her worthiness.
Yeah.
And the thing that kind of stuck out to me was with Rocky, Aisha, and Adam, we saw that they had fighting ability. We see that Kat is virtuous, but nothing proves that she can fight. However, Billy wasn't much of a fighter either when he became a Ranger. I just chalk it up to the powers, either enhance your fighting ability, or if you don't have any,
they give you fighting ability.
I think at that point they did have Ninjor, and it was supposed to be like a Ninjor for Cat trade.
Oh,
because
right,
they saw
right.
Cat yeah. betrayed Zreed and Zed saw Cat betrayed them,
and Goldar gave them the thing, the container of Ninjor, and it was empty.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be a double cross. Yes. Not a double cross. Just they're just gonna trick them.
Ll, it's a double cross. They got the whole place lit up.
Yeah.
What did he say? I don't know. Something about a double cross.
Something about a double cross.
You're telling me.
Die Hard.
Go listen to our Die Hard episode from 4 years ago.
Yep.
But Kat is now the Pink Ranger, and mm-hmm. she's the Pink Ranger as
the Pink Ranger.
The Pink Ranger. She's the Pink the character of Kat as the Pink Ranger is around for the next 18 episodes or so.
Yeah.
However, her being able to morph and becoming the Pink Ranger. She's there briefly. It's like seven or eight episodes.
Yeah. Is the power that Kimberly passes on to her, it's still that limited Pink Ranger power, isn't it? I can't remember.
She has just like grow into it.
Yeah.
But I think
they did something to restore it fully.
They disconnected Kimberly's life force from the coin.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
her life force would no longer be drained.
I will say Kimberly got a dignified send off.
Yeah.
Which I can't say for.
Yeah.
Zach, Trini, and Jason.
Yeah, unfortunately. But now we have Master Vile coming into the scene. And with Master Vile comes some of the greatest challenges, but also it comes the introduction of what's known as the Zeo Crystals.
Yes.
And that would be the arc that takes over for the remainder of the series.
Yeah, yeah.
And essentially the Zeo power is something that he wants to use that's so powerful it can legitimately destroy the galaxy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. And they're essentially tasked with either keeping him from it
mm-hmm.
or finding it
mm-hmm.
or finding it and then breaking it up. And Zordon sends into a time vortex.
Yeah. And that's what they do.
Yeah.
Without getting too granular on how they fight Master Vile.
Yeah.
It's several more instances to where the Rangers are at their wit's end.
Yeah.
But they do find the Zeo Crystals, break it up. They break them into sub portions, and then it's sent out into a time vortex. But Master Vile's pissed off, so his last ditch effort into finally stopping the Rangers is something called the Orb of Doom, which he unleashes on Angel Grove in the last episode of Mighty Morphin Rangers proper. Is it freezes the Earth on its axis, and it's supposed to turn back time, and it turns the teens into powerless children.
Yep.
And that is the end of Mighty Morphin.
That's literally
Power
the series finale. Is them like looking at each other, like, what do we do now? And it ends the same way a normal episode would end.
Mm-hmm.
No pomp and circumstance. They don't get a feeling of finality. There's no feel good moments.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels like another episode. And this is the end of the whole show proper.
Mm-hmm. known as Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Because now we start the 10-part miniseries, Mighty Morphin Alien Rangers,
as it
would be known.
I just want to say, like, as an audience, you built 3 years watching these characters go through it time and time again, being resourceful, finding ways to pull each other up, pull each other out of danger, defeating evil, and every single circumstance they're able to rely on each other and prove why they are Earth's mightiest heroes, you know?
Yeah.
And so it doesn't feel right.
No.
Especially when you become emotionally invested in these characters and just given the conflicts they've gone through, the dire situations, the monsters they fought, all the challenges they faced, and to end it like this, it just is not right.
Yeah, and I know we keep saying end. It's not the end because the last 10 episodes are a part of this miniseries, which later is known as season 3.5.
Yeah. We're still following the same characters.
You know, the same characters have now as children have to find a way to become their grown selves so that they can continue to try and thwart the efforts of Zed and Rita.
The kids carry the load just fine.
Yeah, the kids are fine.
I had to keep reminding myself that these aren't just random kids. These are technically the Rangers mm-hmm. doing these things. It's just not right.
Yeah. And unlike, again, the Rangers in, or Rangers in Reverse is the name of the final yeah. episode. We see them in costume. But they're like the Rangers Back in Time episode in season two, where the first time they become kids and they don't know that they were Power Rangers. Like we said earlier, this time, because of the power coins and their connection to yeah. Zordon, they maintain their memories of being Power Rangers,
yep.
but nobody else knows who they are.
Yep.
So this has to see them be more resourceful when taking on the Tangas.
Yeah.
But
they throw pool equipment at them.
Yes, exactly. There's very much Home Alone hijinks.
Yeah.
The way they take them out. And I was like, aren't at least three of you like practicing martial arts by now?
Even so, like there was so much emphasis on how much more powerful the Tangas were, especially mm-hmm. under Master Vile. Under Master Vile. And there were moments to where the Rangers in suits had difficulty with them, yet these children have no problem mm-hmm. throwing pool noodles at them.
Yeah.
And they're like, ah, like, let's get out of here kind yeah. of thing.
I mean, you can tease peril for children, yeah. but you can't see them yeah. like manhandling kids.
There's just, you just got to go into the final portion of the season knowing, especially in this little miniseries, mm-hmm. that not a whole lot is mm-hmm. going to make sense or does make sense yeah. or will make sense.
Yeah. Now, there's also the first attempt of Rito implanting what's called the implosion device.
Yeah.
Puts it at the base of the command center, yeah. which Alpha goes and defuses.
Yep.
But they see that they're not going to be able to do this by themselves. So they call upon the alien rangers from Aquitar.
Yeah.
Who, they're on a water-based planet, more yeah. so than Earth. Like, they're complete, almost like submerged, like an yeah. Atlantis.
It's
type.
All complete water.
Yeah. So Earth's atmosphere, there's already tension because Earth's atmosphere is not conducive to them
yeah, it's
to fully thrive.
Zordon says. Yeah.
So multiple times during the miniseries, they're weakened and they have to go like recharge yeah. in some body of water.
There's a fountain at the park.
Yeah.
Go to the beach. At one point, two of them go into the car wash.
Yeah. And they're,
which is just hilarious.
Uh-huh. And again, what's nice is they get to implement the Kaku Ranger footage
yeah.
so production costs were relatively yeah. lower, but what this also does is it shows just how important Billy is, and Billy yeah. has to be the leader because he creates this like
a regenerator
which is powered by the ninja coins.
Yeah.
However, it brings him back to his full size and mm-hmm. age, but it's destroyed along with the power coins
yeah
before anybody else can come back to life. And yeah. at that point in the miniseries, the Aquitar Rangers have to go back to their home planet.
Yeah.
My planet needs me
My planet needs me now.
Poochie Don on his way home back to his old planet.
Yeah.
But we really get to see Billy as mm-hmm. like,
yeah,
he's a veteran.
Yeah.
He like, he knows what it's like to be a Power Ranger. He's stepping up mm-hmm. and he's using his maturity and his wisdom to mm-hmm. help guide the Rangers, but mm-hmm. the Rangers as kids.
Yeah. So he has to step up and
he's
do that.
He's a cool camp counselor.
Oh, yeah. While yeah. simultaneously finding ways to help prolong the alien Rangers' time on Earth because
yep.
Rita and Zed just keep throwing everything,
yep.
including the kitchen sink.
Yeah.
In
fact, that was probably one of the monsters. Kitchen sink.
Kitchen sink Kenny.
Kitchen sink Kenny.
What are you looking at? Time for some dirty dishes.
Here's the last drip.
I'm gonna put you in my garbage disposal.
Hey, Rangers, time to clean your pipes.
Yeah, which can go in many different directions.
Yeah.
But they try to utilize their... They have
canceled kitchen sink Kenny.
Yes, they have Battleborgs, which they control telekinetically from the ground.
Not to be confused with Beetleborgs.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
Beetleborgs coming in after the newest episode of Goosebumps.
Yeah.
On Fox Kids Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
But they have Battleborgs, which they control telekinetically. Then they yeah. also have access to the Shogun Zord.
Yeah.
So they have all these things that can throw at the monsters that Rita and Zed, but it's all temporary. So eventually the role the kids have to play is Zordon has to send them back in time to all find pieces of the Zeo crystal.
Yeah, they all get sent back to different times, locations.
Stuff that connects them to their heritage. Yeah. So Rocky goes back to Mexico in a time far off in the past.
Yeah, they don't specify.
No. Aisha goes to Africa maybe like 10 years earlier.
Ernest goes to Africa.
Ernest goes to Africa. Ernest drinks bleach. But
Ernest becomes a Power Ranger.
Yeah.
They have to call on Ernest P. Worrell.
I thought of that the other day. So everyone's saying, like, they're, you know, pterodactyl, triceratops. Like, that's it. Like, yeah, that's his graphic in there. Hey, Vern.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
Ernest, when he punches one of the ooze monsters. Ew.
Anyway, we're not talking about Ernest.
No, but we could do a longer bit. Ernest becomes a Power Ranger.
We mean it in all earnestness.
I adore Ernest P. Worrell.
Oh, for sure.
But, you know, Aisha goes to Africa. Tommy goes to a Native American village. Cat goes to Australia.
Yeah.
Adam
Catherine
goes.
Sutherland plays two different parts in that one.
Glad to see her on the screen again.
Awesome. Good day, Mike.
Yes. Adam goes to Korea. So they have to go on the Zeo quest to find the Zeo crystals to bring them all together to restore them to their original ages and heights and everything, and with the hope of restoring their powers.
Yeah.
But what happens instead is they get all that together. Long story short, of course, this whole Zeo quest kind of goes on simultaneously with the Alien Ranger stuff.
Aisha gives her portion of the Zeo crystal to Tanya.
A little girl named Tanya who is helping Aisha when she goes back to Africa.
Yeah.
Tanya comes back, and when the Rangers all grow back into their original form, Tanya becomes a grown-up, which...
Even though she wouldn't... There's a whole lot of confusing things.
Like we said in the first two episodes, if or when we do a Power Rangers rewatch episode by episode, we'll go more into certain things we noticed.
Did you happen to read why Karen Ashley didn't come back for like Zeo?
I don't think
so.
Or
it's just one of those things where she just wanted to do other things, probably.
Yeah, she probably decided not to.
There were a few times, because I needed to watch a few episodes of Zeo just to kind of wash the end of Mighty Morphin out of my mouth. And there were a few times I'm like, I wish Aisha was the Yellow Ranger.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, Tanya's fine. It's just Tanya has to be this new character.
Yeah.
And there can't be a whole lot of build and explanation that the other new Rangers got.
Yeah. In the last two episodes of, like, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, if we're connecting it with the Alien Rangers, Hydro Hog, which is the Rangers of Aquatar.
Yeah.
That's their greatest villain. He comes down and he starts sucking them and the Earth's water supply dry. Yeah. So they defeat him. And at this point, Master Vile has become frustrated with his efforts being thwarted. So he just leaves. What happens now is over the course of, you know, two or three episodes, Rito and Goldar have made their way down to the bottom chamber of the command center.
Yeah.
And they're putting pieces of the new implosion device down there. So essentially, everybody, like, it's back to normal.
Mr. Trackstar is a homemade explosive device.
Yeah, exactly. Master Trackstar. Mighty Morphin Master Trackstar.
Master Trackstar was another part of the morphing grid that they had to go visit with Ninjor.
Yeah, exactly. But essentially, everyone is happy, but then the explosions start going off. And it's really tense, especially for a kid. Like, you hear Alpha,
Alpha's like, it's not as typical, ay, ay, ay. It's like, oh my, it's like, holy shit. He doesn't say, but that's his
answer. Zordon, what's going on?
He's like, Zordon, we need, get them out of there, Alpha. Yeah. It's like,
and they're
like,
no, we're leaving you.
Yeah, and it's like, ay, 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 what's going on? Like, it was like, I was like, whoa.
And like, at that point, Rito and Goldar, before everything started exploding, transported themselves into the command center, took the Zeo crystals. So the Rangers have no other choice but to be transported out, and they watch from afar as the command center blows up.
And that's the end.
That's the end
of, like, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
The end of it is Tommy saying, "Is this the end of the Power Rangers?"
Yeah.
The Rangers have lost.
Yeah. Like, the end of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers is them losing.
Yeah.
Which then you get to Zeo. Zeo starts where that left off.
But the thing is, so the Zeo crystals were not going to be a one-off or some, like, effort that falls through and doesn't amount to anything.
Yeah.
So Power Rangers Zeo starts in April 1996. It's 2 months in between the end of Mighty Morphin and the start of Power Rangers Zeo. Because although Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, which is our whole reasoning for doing this month, is over, we ain't going out like that.
No way, Jose.
So Matt and I watched the first two episodes of Zeo because also for our own benefit, we had to end on a happy ending.
Yeah.
So leading up to this, when they re-showed season three in place of the today on Power Rangers, little like bumper at the beginning of each episode, they did this like Zeo like serial series to where it's like it's these little shorts to where for about a minute beforehand, you start... The audience is being familiarized with the new threat, which is the Machine Empire led by King Mondo and his ilk and his family.
He's supposedly far more powerful, more of a threat than Rita and Zed. So much so that Rita and Zed flee the Moon Castle.
Even Master Vile puts him over because in the first two episodes, Master Vile shows back up.
Yeah.
But, you know, we start getting familiarized with that. And also in Angel Grove, Bulk and Skull segments, we start to see that everyone's wondering, where are the Power Rangers?
Yeah.
Because they haven't showed up.
Yeah. So everyone's been changed back to, because there were kid versions of Bulk and Skull as well, who were pretty good as well.
They were fine.
They were okay.
One resolution thing that I was happy with is when everybody was turned back, we see Bulk and Skull in their bully attire one more time.
Yeah.
So that was one thing where I was like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, I didn't realize that the whole time they're in police uniforms, pretty much the whole season.
Yeah. So just a general overview of the first two episodes of Zeo, the Rangers, you get a narration from Tommy about how like the command center exploded, they don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And then we pick up with them in the ruins of the rubble of the command center, and then they're like, you know, Rito and Goldar got away with the Zeo crystal, but then Adam sees it glistening in the rubble and
they
failed.
Yeah.
All the while, so Rita and Zed see the King Mondo's on his way, and he has a new crop of baddies with him, more powerful than whatever Rita and Zed could come
up
with.
They're more like machines.
Yeah, so we're switching off between Rita and Zed trying to escape the moon base, but they keep getting shot at by King Mondo.
Yeah.
We see King Mondo kind of laying out his agenda. Master Vile shows back up, puts King Mondo over as super dangerous.
Yep.
The Rangers fall through the earth, and they find themselves below the power, what Billy's like, it looks like, you know, the power chamber, or like below like the power or the command center, the power chamber. And as we see, the new command center is materializing.
Yeah.
And then they hear, you know, Rangers step through the vortex, and the Rangers step through and they see there's a new power chamber.
Yeah.
And they see Alpha come out and he says, Rangers, like, welcome home.
Yeah. We anticipated something like this, so we built like underground. Yeah.
Billy talks about how he saw the plans for it.
Yeah.
Inside the
old command center.
In the old command center, but didn't know it was real. Yeah. Zordon gives them the skinny. They all, you know, hug one another. He apologizes to Tanya that her transition into being a ranger was not so smooth.
Yeah. Trial by fire.
Yeah, exactly.
And you passed.
Yeah. Billy says that he is stepping down as a ranger. He learned with the alien ranger stuff, he's better suited to assist in the command center. So he gives his power to Tanya.
Yeah.
Zordon tells him of the threat, the impending threat that will be tougher than anything they've ever faced. And then they get their Zeo powers. The crystals split up. They all get their respective colors. Adam's green. Rocky's blue. Tommy's red. Adam's second in command, which is cool. Tanya is yellow. Kat is pink. They all morph. Take on the cogs, which are the putties for this season. And at the end of the episode, Kat says, we're back. Like, the Power Rangers are back.
Yes.
And Power Rangers Zeo continues on the story.
Mm-hmm.
And although we talked about the Mighty Morphin ending on a dour note, I can not help but smile at the continuation of this wonderful franchise.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That was really nice to watch Zeo.
Mm-hmm.
I think I watched episodes like 3 and 4 as well. 3, they get their Zords and stuff like that.
Yeah.
In just for some continuity.
Yeah.
With our previous couple episodes, I was just gonna do the key arcs and notable monsters. Mm-hmm. So just kind of rounding out this episode. Overall, I think I liked season 3 better than season 2.
Yeah. That's tough to say because season two started off so hot.
Three consistency-wise, and as a whole, I think was better than season two.
Yeah, but some key arcs, Ninja Quest. So, again, their Zords are destroyed. They get their ninja powers. We encounter Ninjor. Stop the Hate Master.
Yeah,
that was a really good one. It was a very Aisha-centered episode, and she did a really great job. And the Hate Master was a great villain. He made all of the Rangers kind of evil to each other. And so I liked kind of they were acting all like frustrated towards each other. And that was a nice change of pace because you never see them really angry at each other unless they're under some sort of spell.
And the actors got to show range. It's called range.
Yeah. I wonder if they're channeling genuine frustration into those performances as well, just given their schedules and how poorly they were treated. A Ranger Catastrophe, so that's the introduction of Cat, and changing of the Zords, which is Kimberly loses her life force, kind of like what we were talking about, almost loses her life force. A Different Shade of Pink, so the transfer of the Pink Ranger. Master Vile and the Metallic Armor.
The Metallic Armor, which are just sequent suits with different lighting and metallic sound effects.
Yeah, but Master Vile and his monster, the Blue Globber, may be the biggest threat they've ever faced.
That's how he's going to get access to... Because the Zeo Crystal thwarts off any evil energy, but what he's going to do is the Globber is going to absorb Ninjor's energy, and he's going to use the Globber to get the Zeo Crystal.
Yeah, exactly. So some big arcs. And then I just had Rangers in Reverse because it was the last.
Yeah. And then, of course, Alien Rangers, the miniseries we just talked about.
And that's a whole, like, miniseries. Mm-hmm. So, some notable monsters. Marvo the Meanie.
Oh, yes.
Who's in Wizard for a Day.
Marvo the Martian.
Yeah,
exactly. Oh, Rangers, I'm mean now. Why do you sound like me? Don't ask any questions.
Oh, yeah. Also, like, Ninjor seems like he's also trying to be like, they're trying to make him like a Mighty Mouse because he shows up on a cloud.
Yeah.
And he's like,
here I come to save the day. Like, here I come, Rangers.
Yeah. But anyway, a lot of these monsters appeared in multiple episodes.
Yeah.
Marvo the Meanie, who was an elf mushroom-like monster, who was in Wizard for a Day. Sea Monster, like Eyeball Sea, who's in quite a few episodes, but he was that eye-themed monster created by Fenster.
Doesn't he, like, flash eyes?
Yeah, he's got, like, a trench coat of eyes.
Flashes people.
Yeah, but he was the main antagonist in Changing of the Zords. I did that twice. Krabby Cabby. Who was in Follow That Cab.
Yeah.
A lot of these monsters, again, were in Alien Rangers of ACOTAR as well. He had that stereotypical, like, New York, Brooklyn accent. Yeah. It's just a giant cab with arms. Ravenator, who is not to be confused with Wendy's Baconator.
When I
was making these notes, I was hungry. So I saw Ravenator, and I was like, Baconator.
Wish I could eat a real raven.
I know. He was mostly a huge mouth with, like, a tongue sticking out. And he had a seemingly insatiable appetite for destruction. And we ain't talking Guns and Roses, baby.
No, baby.
But he was in Rita's PETA and Countdown to Destruction, Part 1. The Blue Globber.
Yeah.
Who is a slime monster who is Master Vile in the Metallic Armor. Face Stealer. It's like a strange face-stealing monster who is the main antagonist in Final Face-Off. Hate Master.
Yeah.
From Stop the Hate Masters, like a Chimera monster. Artist Mole, who was an artist and badger-themed monster who was in Brush with Destiny. Discordia, who is a diva monster. She had, like, a real Broadway, hey, Rangers, kind of thing. She was in The Sound of Discordia.
Mm-hmm.
And the Barbaric Brothers were in Alien Trap.
Sound like surfer dudes.
And then Hydro Hog.
So oh yeah,
was
yeah.
The arch enemy of the Aqua Rangers.
Yeah.
So some notable monsters, key story arcs, a lot of story arcs we touched on during our discussion, so didn't feel a need to go deep into those.
No.
But this has been an absolute joy. Like
this
isn't the end of Mighty Morphin May. We have one more episode.
We have a re-release coming out.
We have a re-release.
The re-release
already
happened.
Never mind. Yeah.
But
we're recording this before we re-release that.
Yeah. We watched almost 100 episodes of Power Rangers.
Yeah, no
over
joke.
The course of, like, the last 3 weeks.
I originally, just out of discontent,
I wasn't going to watch the Alien miniseries, mm-hmm. and I'm glad I did.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It wraps it up, although not the way you'd hope. It does give some sort of conclusion sure. that leads to the next iteration.
Yeah.
The sequel.
The triumphant return.
Yes. But this has been a blast. It's
agreed.
Been a joy yep. revisiting these episodes. Mm-hmm. Talking with people about them and really just immersing ourselves back into Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Yeah. During this process, Joe Gilbert, mm-hmm. friend of the show, has been very vocal mm-hmm. in his appreciation and also his Ranger history. Apparently yeah. he's a huge Power Ranger, has a huge history with Power mm-hmm. Rangers.
Yes.
So it's making me want to jump into some of the other Power Ranger series, the ones yes. that I didn't dive into when I was a kid.
Yes.
Like your Lost Galaxies, In Space.
Mm-hmm.
Time Force.
Makes fun of Turbo a bunch.
Yeah.
But I can't express how great this has been.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
It's been so rewarding to revisit something that yeah. was so important to us
yeah.
as kids and something that continues to have a presence in our lives. And when me speaking now will say will never go away.
Yeah.
I love Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Mm-hmm. No matter... you know, controversy behind it, no matter the reception, no matter what happened at the end.
Yeah.
As a whole, it was such a fulfilling show
yep.
to the appetite of new superhero fans.
Yeah.
And captured the imagination of little kids.
Yeah.
Really just wanting to be a part of it and mm-hmm.
just I still want to be a Power Ranger.
And just finding joy out yeah. of something like that. So all that being said, again, this isn't the last week in Mighty Morphin May, but this is our last retrospective.
Yep.
Thank you all for joining
us. Thank you
so
much
for that.
Yeah.
Thank you to the Power Rangers. I'm not going to thank Haim Saman directly. I will thank the Power Rangers because
yeah.
and the actors and actresses and the crew that worked on the show.
Yeah.
Thank you for your contribution.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing to life the show that defined a generation.
Yeah.
That
quite
was
literally,
such
yeah.
a touchstone in pop yeah. culture, changed the way so many things were done and made, and really ushered in this new form of television making, and that's adapting what was popular in Japan already
mm-hmm.
and adding an American spin and
yeah.
really just changing the lives of a lot of people.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
thank you so much for that. Thank you all
yeah.
for always being there for us, for listening. And like the Rangers would want us to say,
be good to yourselves, be good to each other, because why would you want to be rude when you can be rad? We'll see you next time. Go, go, power.